hosts in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There's a lot to talk about today. In fact, for example, our pro-life effort has so much momentum that just today, another successful businessman said, hey, I want to help launch American Right to Life. Here is $10,000. That's becoming a habit, and I am so thankful that people are coming through in that way. Wow, that's exciting. And was it 1 or 2 days ago? I said we had a secret project, and the goal I had that day was to raise $12,000 for a secret project. And by the time we got to the show, the last minute or two of the show? I forget. I said, well, I'm up to $10,000. We started this morning, and we got $10,000 for the secret project. And that was it. I think I just said a sentence. And so after the show, we did get a call. Somebody said, what's the secret project? I want to know. And I told him, and he said, here's $300 toward it. That was encouraging. And so, but then we forgot about that until right now. So if you want to know about the secret project, then call us after we get off the air. Ask for me, Bob Enyart, and I'll tell you what the secret project is. And if you want to help fill in that balance, $1,700, you could make that decision. Now, in a moment, we're going to interview someone. But first, today is a big day for the WhitesCompany.com. They're building the largest abortion facility in the country, the Whites Company, where they specialize in building abortion clinics. Well, people have been calling the Whites Company, and on the internet at thewhitescompany.com, there's a list of phone numbers, and there's all the phone numbers through the whole company, every extension, every name, every fax. It's pretty interesting. And I thought I'd try helping out that project. If you're not part of that project, please go to thewhitescompany.com. And you could put in your name and email ID and get the daily updates from Will Duffy, who's heading up this project against the new planned abortion clinic in Denver. Whites is spelled W-E-I-T-Z, thewhitescompany.com. That's the name of the company. That's the name of the website. Only Will Duffy owns the website. So let's try calling. Let's call one of these numbers. Let's see. I could dial this while I'm talking. We're going to call Gary Magason first. He's a senior vice president. And then maybe next we'll try Colleen Kilkenny. And, you know, I have a feeling he's not going to answer. But since he's listening right now, Gary, if you want, just answer. We could talk on the air. We go to the voicemail, and I'll leave a message.
You've reached the desk of Gary Magason. I'm not able to take your call. Please leave your message at the sound of the tone, and I'll return your message just as soon as I can. Thanks for calling the Whites Company.
Hi, Gary. This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, and I'm leaving this message while we're on the radio. If you'd like, you could tune into the show on the internet later at kgov.com. But Gary, you and I called at the very beginning of this project to beg you guys to reconsider and to stop building this child-killing center. And I just plead with you and I beg you to reconsider. I know when there are a lot of people trying to get others to change their plans, pride comes in, and pride is pretty hard to deal with. But Gary, this is serious. There are millions of people in America who know that you're helping Planned Parenthood kill kids. So this is your legacy unless you repent. I beg of you to repent. We have been going to the homes of the abortionists who kill at Planned Parenthood for over 15 years. It's been 17, 18 years. And the Whites Company has made themselves the most significant collaborator of the child killing industry in America. And so you guys have become basically the poster child of the collaborator of the abortion industry. And so because of that, we are determined, for as long as children are being killed in that facility that we will protest at the homes of the whites, executives, and employees. And so we beg you to reconsider. You are turning that minority neighborhood in Denver into a war zone. 20th and Vine in Denver, where Planned Parenthood has been killing kids, has been a war zone for 30 years. Neighbors move in there by accident and they can't stand it and they move out. So you turn a minority neighborhood into a war zone, complete with the pedophiles that bring their young victims to Planned Parenthood to get rid of the evidence of the child rape. And then those pedophiles lurk in the neighborhood waiting for the abortionist to complete his job. You're bringing all that to this minority neighborhood in Denver, and you think your million-dollar neighborhood will be spared that kind of turmoil? Well, there is no child killing with tranquility in our backyard. So we beg of you, Gary Megason, stop building this child-killing center. Thank you so much. Goodbye. All right. I think maybe on another show we'll try to reach Colleen. So this is serious. And, you know, people live their lives as though there's no God. And quite often when they're ready to see their maker, like there's no atheist in a foxhole, it's hard to find one, then they call out for God. When people are ill, they think about God. When there's a crisis, 9/11, people think about God. Well, God is there whether you're thinking about him or not. And when you live your life that you don't care that kids are being killed, and then you go to meet God and you find out he cared a lot the whole time. In fact, it made his top 10 list of issues, do not murder. And you hurt children and you think God doesn't care. It's going to be scary on Judgment Day for all those who advocate, especially those who made money off of the blood of innocent children. Okay, now, we are going to do something interesting because KHAL Radio airs in Denver. That's one of our major talk stations. And there's a program, Kaplis and Silverman. Dan Kaplis, he's pro-life. He's a little liberal, but he's pro-life, and we love him for being pro-life. And Craig Silverman is the Silverman half of Kaplis and Silverman, and he's a hardcore pro-abort and very liberal. And they had a caller this week, and the guy's name was Steve. Well, it turns out Steve is in studio right here at Bob and Yurt Live and on AM 670 KLTT right now. Steve Curtis, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. And Steve, you are the vice president of American Right to Life.
I am.
And so it's an honor to have you here in studio. How'd you end up on KHAL Radio this week?
Well, the topic on KHAL this week on almost all the locally produced shows has been this young man that killed several people last weekend.
Yeah, and devastating. The church murderers.
The church murderer and the guy that, you know, killed a couple out here in Arvada, a couple of young people, and then went down to Colorado Springs and killed a couple of young sisters down there. And it on all their shows, the topic has been, you know, what caused this? Everybody has this strange fascination with what caused this guy to kill. And it's ranged from Craig Silverman's take the other day, which was basically the fact that he had been Christian homeschooled and not socialized enough that he became a social misfit, to Peter Boyle saying this morning that because he was a homosexual, Christians again were to blame. You know, Christians always putting down homosexuals and always persecuting homosexuals.
Yeah, well,
that was to blame, and that drove him to it.
Well, we warn homosexuals that you're destroying yourself and you're destroying others, and God created us male and female. And when you deny that, even if you denied God and you just looked at the way human beings were made, you should be able to see that we were made male and female. And when you deny that, you destroy yourself from the inside out, and you destroy those around you and even your society, your culture. So if you don't love your neighbor, if you're apathetic, you could say, hey, homosexuality is fine. If you love your neighbor, you warn him if he's doing heroin, if he's an alcoholic, if he's promiscuous, if he's destroying himself with homosexuality. If you love him, you warn him.
Well, what's really bothering me this week is the Christian church's response to all the non-Christians telling Christians how to act Christian-like. How to act like Christ. And it is so absurd that even this morning in the 5 o'clock hour, and yesterday, as a matter of fact, Peter Boyles is going on and on. Peter Boyles apparently is now a scholar of the Bible. And his premise is that because there are no words in the Bible where Jesus specifically talks about homosexuality, although he certainly talks about
fornication, well, adultery, and sexual immorality.
Well, and even, you know, when he's talking about how we're to act today, and he says, he's hanging everything on the great commandment today. On that hangs all the law of the prophets. And so,
yeah.
so we know that it's
love God and love your neighbor.
Exactly. And in doing so, you certainly could not love your neighbor and then tell him to go on and live an immoral lifestyle, which is going to lead him to hell.
So as Peter Boyle, his argument was because Jesus didn't specify homosexuality as part of the pornea, that's the Greek word for fornication that the Lord warned us against would destroy you. Because Jesus didn't specify homosexuality, he's saying because of that, that's evidence it's okay.
Well, that's what he's saying. And then he completely dismisses the writings of Paul, saying that Paul never met Jesus personally and therefore could not be speaking for Jesus.
Well, he's in big trouble. First of all, Paul did meet Jesus personally on the road to Damascus.
Well, and Paul, as we all know, is the one that got all the revelation addressed to the church
today. Of Christ.
To the body of Christ.
That's absolutely right. Now,
which is huge.
Now, Jesus didn't have to mention all the forms of destructive perversion because, you know, pedophilia. The Lord didn't say fornication will destroy you. And by the way, that includes pedophilia, sex with kids.
Well, the word abortion is never found in the Bible either.
That's true, although we could talk about Exodus 21 where a crime is being committed and an accidental side effect is a woman gets injured, pregnant woman, and if the baby dies, it's life for life. So that's a pretty interesting passage. But, yeah, pedophilia is not mentioned because it was taken for granted that that is a perversion that's included in pornea, in sexual immorality. Sex with animals is not mentioned. I hope Peter Boyles would not be so perverse as to suggest that sex with animals, which is increasingly common in our perverse culture, that that's okay because Jesus didn't condemn that. I mean, there are so many perversions that the Lord didn't address. You know, incest, sex with your parents, with your siblings. Peter Boyles, is that okay? That is an absurd argument from silence.
Well,
it's
it is
destructive.
Well, it is. But then when the Christians call in and they identify themselves as Christian and they're bold to say, I'm not ashamed to admit I'm a Christian. But the Christian response seems to be with this. And we've seen it in other mass killings and really brutal and out of the ordinary type of killings is to just immediately launch into forgiveness. And they were talking about how apparently on the front page of the Denver Post, I didn't see the article, but they were talking about how a group of students at the Youth with a Mission campus in Arvada got together and stood in the hallway in front of photographers and yelled in unison, Matthew, we forgive you. Matthew being the killer. That strikes me as so fundamentally wrong. Number one, what are they forgiving Matthew, who, by the way, is dead and can't accept their forgiveness, but beyond that, never even asked for it?
Being in hell, right? God doesn't forgive Satan, Lucifer, the demons. The people who are in hell are not forgiven. They're there because they're in rebellion against God, and they don't want his forgiveness. And if God were to say, I forgive you, they would mock him for it.
Well, what a mockery of the term forgiveness. What are these people supposedly forgiving him for? These people think that they're forgiving him for his doing something to somebody else.
Yeah, he didn't murder them.
He didn't murder them.
Right, he murdered the victims.
Yeah, I forgive you for killing somebody else. Well, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know, I know that you know that in the Bible, and you and I talked about this the other day, that God, you know, God says a couple of different places that he's no respecter of persons. but he is a respecter of conditions. And the condition for forgiveness is repentance.
Yeah. Humility,
if somebody repents of their sin, mm-hmm. then you are supposed to forgive them.
There were two criminals on the cross next to the Lord. The one was mocking Jesus. The other was sorry and repentant. And the one who was sorry, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
And the other is now in hell. The other is in hell. He was not repentant. He is not forgiven. It's a mockery. It mocks the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said to the paralytic man, your sins are forgiven, you know, people thought he committed blasphemy. They didn't know he was God, the people watching. But God has the authority to forgive the sins of those who sin against anyone, because ultimately it's a sin against God.
Well, and you just said something that reminds me. You know, I think a lot of times they get this idea that you're to forgive everybody for everything, no matter whether or not they even regret doing it, mm-hmm. because of the act of Jesus on the cross, where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now,
right.
These people certainly knew that they were murdering Jesus.
Right.
That, I mean, they knew that. So what was he talking about?
He was talking about the fact that he was their creator, God, and Savior. And in the Mosaic Law, when you commit a crime, if there are other damages done that are indirect that you weren't aware of, you're responsible for all that, too. So they knew they were murdering an innocent man. They didn't realize, though they should have, that he was their creator, God. And that's what Jesus was saying. You know, don't destroy the whole earth right now. Don't bring it to judgment, because I am dying to provide salvation. But people take that passage and they think that means that forgiveness is automatic to everyone, in which case there is no judgment day and there is no punishment or separation from God, because the child molester who hates God is going to heaven automatically.
Well, and the companion teaching to this really pop Christian doctrine that's running around seems to be this thing that you know, everything comes from God, everything. And they use the verse of Scripture where they're talking about all things were made by him and going on. But we talked about this also, that the word all has two different meanings, and it can be all without exception, which would literally mean everything, mm-hmm. or all with distinction. And God can do, I mean, all things are possible with God, but that would have to be all things with the distinction of the things that he says in his word he would do.
Yeah.
You know,
and, right.
It wouldn't mean, I mean, for example, where the Bible says that God is a God of light, in him there is no darkness of all or at all. So it could not mean that all darkness is of God. It would be those things that the Bible says, it's all with the distinction of those things that he says he would do.
All. I mean, we could say that Clinton was reelected and the whole country went insane. You know, when we speak, and in the Bible, the word all appears thousands of times, and it's commonly, frequently a figure of speech. But so we have Christians being taught that forgiveness should not require repentance, that repentance is unnecessary, it's superfluous, that forgiveness, universal forgiveness, is mandatory and automatic. And that destroys the entire message of the gospel, because millions of people think that God is an all-forgiving God and they don't have to repent. They don't have to be concerned about killing kids or humbling themselves before Jesus Christ, because if there is a God, he's forgiving.
Well, and it makes it goes even just a bit deeper than that. It means that what Jesus Christ went through on the cross was for nothing. Because we would have gotten it anyway. Because God is all forgiving, all of it. I mean, even the merciless beating of Jesus Christ. You know, God would have been okay with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they're saying. He's okay with everything, because I guess he's got this big master plan, mm-hmm. where, you know, he's going to force people to do certain things, but it's all good in the end, because you've already been forgiven. It really doesn't matter what you do.
And I think that one of the major reasons people who believe in God go to hell, those who go to hell, is because they believe he's a God of love and all forgiving. And where do they get that from? They got it from YWAM this week. The director of YWAM, you know, he loves the Lord. He's a godly Christian. But this false teaching permeates the body of Christ. He said that he was proclaiming that this guy was forgiven before he went down and killed the other victims.
That's right.
So this guy is headed to murder more innocent people, and he's being forgiven?
Well, and he said, we believe that it is our position, our job, to forgive him.
Yeah.
And that we're not to judge, that that's up to God, and we're to
right.
forgive him.
Remember,
and the Bible never says that.
Yeah,
it never says that.
Remember Jesse Ventura said that Christians are mentally ill?
Right.
And there was an uproar. And he said, well... And they said, are you going to take that back? And he said, no, they're going to forgive me anyway.
Right.
So why would I take it back? They're just going to forgive me.
Right.
And so this destroys the credibility of the body of Christ to say that forgiveness is automatic.
Why, if I were a career thief and a murderer and a liar and just an all-around bad person, why would I ever even want to hear about the forgiveness of God through Christ if I'm already going to be forgiven anyway? Mm. Why not just keep doing? I mean, you know, in Romans, right. you'll remember, I don't know, it was Romans or Corinthians, when the people were getting, you know, way off on this tangent of grace and saying that grace covers everything,
yeah,
okay, and misusing what it really means, and they were saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't really matter. After all, we're already forgiven.
Right. And Paul in Romans, what should we say? Should we sin so that grace might abound? God forbid. In the Greek. And so, yeah, there is a fundamental problem with the basics. When the Bible was being written in the New Testament, there was a problem that people could not handle the meat. So they had to be given the milk again. Today, the body of Christ is lactose intolerant. They can't handle the milk today. The milk cannot be handled. Christians don't know we're supposed to judge. We're commanded by Jesus. John 7:24, judge with righteous judgment. We are commanded, Luke 17:3, if someone sins against you, not forgive him, rebuke him. How is he going to know how wicked he is if he's just forgiven automatically? Jesus said, rebuke him, and if he repents, if it's conditional, if he repents, forgive him. So the other passages where it says to forgive, of course, we're to have attitudes of forgiving hearts, and you forgive with the biblical principles of forgiveness.
That's correct.
Paul didn't forgive Alexander the coppersmith. You got the apostles and prophets and Jesus railing on people and angry. And what, we get rid of all that because of psychobabble? Psychologists have redefined theology?
Well, they have, and we've known. I mean, if you look at the last generation of major Christian leaders, it seems like the last generation really took so much, especially of the evangelical church, and in some cases made some inroads into the Catholic Church, of getting involved in basically Republican politics. And Christianity kind of took on a political theme, so to speak. But now it seems like this next generation, the Rick Warrens and the Joel Osteens and this bunch is coming down the pike, and they're like, well, we really don't even need to talk about the word at all. We're going to take some general feel-good principles, and now there's this new doctrine going out there that just says, look, love everybody, just be kind to everybody. It really doesn't matter. It's very fatalistic. It's very fatalistic, as if we don't have a job to do here on earth, as if we don't really have a calling and a purpose to our lives, because it's all just kind of happened anyway, and we're just supposed to go along with and roll with it. It's just insane what's going on.
One of our Texas listeners to Bob and Yurt Live called and said that he'd been listening to one of the megachurches' sermons for weeks and was yet to hear the name Jesus Christ mentioned.
They won't.
Sermon after sermon.
They
after
won't.
Sermon.
And you know, if you saw the 60 Minutes piece with Joel Osteen, who's got a church of, 27,000 members, I think, and they seat 19. Well, they have the Astrodome. I mean, their church is the old Houston Astrodome, and they have no religious symbolism because they don't want to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. There are no crosses. There's not a pulpit. There's nothing in that church that could be mistaken as Christian because they don't want to offend people, as if Christianity is offensive.
And the Bible says that Jesus is the rock of offense. Three times it says that he is the rock of offense. And so let's take a quick call from Denver. Zane, you're on with Steve Curtis and Bob Enyart.
Hey, Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, sir.
My comment is, it'd be funny how that worked out if that lady was trying to forgive him before she was shooting him, or at the same time in the process.
Right.
It's been kind of hard to judge his actions if, you know, you see.
Well, no, say that again.
Well, you know, he broke into that church down there, shot two people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then he got inside, and this lady, the security guard,
yeah,
shot him.
Yeah.
A couple times.
She's a hero.
Had she been judging that she couldn't judge?
Oh, right. Good point.
Good
point. And Peter Boyles took a call from a guy who said, it's a shame that security guard had a gun. She shouldn't have had a gun. I'm against guns.
It's a shame we don't all have guns.
Yeah, right. And so what an absurdity to see in that situation all the lives that that gal saved. And she is a hero. And you got people that hard-hearted who would rather have seen the innocent die for their liberal ideology. Thank you, Zane.
That's fine. You know, it happened in Texas. They did the same thing, and people were saying, well, it's God's will, you know, when this sort of thing happened. And I got thinking, well, if we had guns and someone would stop the person before he reloaded, how about that being God's will for a while?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, Steve, in South Africa, there was a terrorist going into churches. And years ago, I called him the Christian 007 on the show, and he was in church, and a terrorist, South Africa, came in and started killing people in the church, shooting them. And he was in the second row. He dove out into the middle of the aisle, got down, and with two hands on the gun, shot and killed the guy. There's a Christian 007.
There you go. Good for him.
Good job.
Good for him.
And so, all right, so Steve, you ended up on K-How talking to Kaplis and Silverman about.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's just sad that everybody's response suddenly is to jump on this and say, let's find another way to blame the Christians for this very unchristian-like act.
Yeah, Silverman is saying that this kid is a Christian homeschooler. And
it's the lack of his socialization in the public schools, the things like pornography and promiscuity and drugs and just horrible behavior, all those things. It was a lack of those things that must have driven him.
Yeah, right. And plus,
to kill people.
Plus, he's 24 years old, was he? So 6 years ago, he got out of school. So if you have 99% of the murderers go to public school and one went to homeschool, they say, oh, it's the Christian homeschooling that caused him to be a murderer. Well, then in that case, Craig Silverman condemn all the public schools.
Right.
So that's just an absurdity. Yeah, and it's not the godless society and the culture of death. It's because he had a Christian education.
Well, I think the Christian church needs to wake up and realize that there's an awful lot of real evil in this world.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot of wickedness in this world. A lot of spiritual wickedness that surrounds us, and if we just keep getting this this pop psychology and calling it the Word of God, Christians aren't going to be equipped to handle this any more than we've seen them not being equipped this week.
Yeah. So, all right, Steve Curtis, thank you so much for joining us. Steve is the Vice President of American Right to Life. In the plot manuscript, it's now bound, perfect bound, glossy cover. You'll love it. Call us, 888-8NER. And Maranatha, what a great school in Arvada, Maranatha.